Well, good morning, family. Whether you are visiting or whether you are a regular family member here, you're part of the family of God, and we welcome you. And I want to thank the worship team for leading us. Worship was beautiful. In fact, the song we were singing, the one, the Holy, Holy, I love that, don't you? And as I was singing that, I was thinking, you know, that part of the mystery of being a Christian and being in a worship experience is that we are assured in God's word over and over again that when we that we can come boldly. Hebrews tells us we can come boldly before God's throne. And worship, I believe, is that that common denominator that we, when we come to worship, we are coming into God's presence. And that maybe we need to be more aware of that. Sometimes we just assume that, well, we're just going to church. what if we said every time we were on our way, we were saying we're going to go to be in God's presence? I wonder how that might change our thinking a little bit, and maybe even how we worship God. We're so blessed here in such a beautiful part of the country. I know by talking to my family members that are some back east and some in the Northwest that we are really blessed, really blessed. It's beautiful, beautiful day today. And I thought it'd be nice, you know, this is the time of year that we begin to focus our minds, our attention, and our emotions on being thankful and being grateful. You know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about that can create anxieties or create stresses, but how often do we spend time just thinking about the things that we can be thankful for and be grateful for? We just sang a song, Give Thanks. That's a beautiful song. Another one of my favorites. Thank you for choosing those. And I think we have a nice little group here this morning. And we think it'd be nice if we share a little bit with each other about what, just share something that you're grateful for. And I think, Marty, would you be willing to carry the mic? Just share a little something with the family here this morning, something that you're thankful for, something that you want to thank God or even thank your family or whatever. Just raise your hand. Marty's got the mic. Here we go. Boom. That's great.
You started this.
I'm thankful for this church and the family that it's brought us, me and my family. Being able to have not even a second family, it's really just an extension of my first family. And being able to grow up since I was 4 years old coming here and being able to have uncles and aunts and multiple dads. and just having the love and compassion that I know that I'll be able to get from all the people here, and just being able to love people back.
Amen.
I'm thankful for God always answering my prayers, for Him telling me that He has a plan for me and always following through with that.
Amen. God has a plan, a purpose.
I'm thankful for the Wall family and everything they've done for me since I've known them. And I'm thankful to God for bringing them into my life.
Amen.
So, for me, the last time I really did homework on a consistent basis was in seventh grade. So I came into college with no study habits, you know, whatsoever. And the grades that I got my first year of college for me were extremely humbling. And in that humbled state, God really came to me and comforted me and shaped my heart and transformed me into where I am now, to where I'm able to study and I'm able to do homework, and it's not burdensome for me or tiresome for me. And right now, God's doing really something really, really incredible in my life, that I have grades that I never ever thought that I'd be able to have. And that's one of the biggest things I'm grateful for right now.
Amen.
I'm grateful that Marty and Carol are back to this week.
Yes. Amen.
I think this is a very, very good idea that you had this. You know, a few weeks ago, I went to Claremont Church, and I stood up. I want to make a few words. And the ushers, two ushers came to me and ushered me out. Usher me out. I said, please, let me say a few words. They ushered me out. And I think this is a very, very good idea that people can express their feelings. I spent 15 years in Germany, and I came back about 10 years ago. But I'm here. I'm so happy that I'm here in San Diego. I was up there in the Murrieta Hot Spring when my son, he lives up there. We moved from Escondido to Murrieta Hot Spring, and he lives there. So anyway, it's a little bit too far from me, so I came back to San Diego. So I enjoy San Diego because of the transportation. You know, for 20, before it was $28, and now it's going up to 30. But you can ride the bus for a whole month. Trolley, buses, anywhere you want to go. That's one of the best deal in town. And I really appreciate this. And I'm very happy to be here with you folks. I was here before when, what's her name? Jeannie Kennedy. I knew her and her family before, and I'm sorry to see her pass away.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm very happy to be here with you folks, and hope to be. And I invite some friends to come last week and week before. They all promised to come, and they couldn't, and they didn't come. And then the one that's be coming, hopefully he says next week. So anyway, happy to be here. Thank you.
Dr. Siao and I complete a circle of faith. His great-grandfather and my great-grandfather, right, worked together in Indonesia in the 1800s. So we're a circle now. You just close the gap, 100 years or more. Thank you for coming. Anybody else want to share what they're thankful for or grateful for?
I just want to say the thanks of my church family. Because I was very sick, but my church family prayed for me, and I am, grace of God, I am okay.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing.
Tony's one of our local miracles. For a while there, her health was pretty bad, but thanks to God and to some good nurses and a daughter, she's on her feet again. That's good. Amen.
Sebastian.
Hey, good morning. I'm thankful to be back. It's 7 months, and it's good to see you guys again and have, you know, solid earth and all that. But it's really great to have gone somewhere, been gone for a while, and come back and feel at home. And that's something I'm very thankful for.
Amen. Welcome back.
Welcome home. Anybody else? I just want to point out we have Steph Curry with us today in the back row here, our new friend. All right, Pam.
I am thankful, of course, for the church family. You guys have been wonderful since we've been here from transplant from Colorado years ago. But I'm very, very thankful to God. He just, in every aspect of our lives, he's there, and I just want to thank him for everything. I mean, he's my friend, my God, my redeemer, and this time of year you start thinking more about that. And when things happen, you think more about it. But anyway, he's just, I'm thankful for so many things. It's hard to say, but those are my main ones. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. I need to hear those things because it's nice to know that our hearts are united in worship and in thankfulness to God. And, you know, just in case you didn't check, was it Thursday night or Wednesday night, Marty? I can't remember. We were supposed to have like a big meteorite shower about, I think it was, 12 or something in the morning, 12:30 in the morning, something like that. So I got up and went out, and I got to see some of it. It was kind of pretty. And I thought to myself as I was standing out there, it's pretty dark up where we live. We don't have the glow from the city. We can see it in the distance, but it's pretty dark, and I could see all the different formations out there, none of which I know other than the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper or whatever. And it was beautiful, though, because I was reminded that the heavens declare the glory of God. If you can't find anything else around you, if everything you see has a stamp of this old world on it, look up to the heavens, folks. You know, it's beautiful. God has given us evidence of His glory. And if you have a telescope, look through it, because it even gets bigger and beautiful and bright. And I've always enjoyed whenever we used to go up to the mountains, and Marty brought his telescope and get to see things you don't normally. I was out the other night with my binoculars looking at the full moon, and it helps a little bit, not a whole lot, but it does look kind of cool. And it was beautiful to just, everything was quiet. Except my dog, one of my dogs likes to snore, so I could hear that in the house. I won't say who else was snoring. But anyway, and I could just see this beauty of God's universe out there. And I thought, you know, how far, how deep, how so beautiful is the love of God. It fills you with a sense of how small we really are. And how massive, incredibly powerful and beautiful God's love and his caring for us is. And, of course, you know, I could preach a whole sermon on that. You know, the whole idea of Christ coming from outer space, in heaven there, coming to this earth, this little tiny little speck out in the middle of nowhere. And he loved us that much. But we're going to go another direction. Well, that's all part of the gospel. But this morning, we've kind of been going through a series talking about the experience that took place there in Genesis, because after all, Genesis is the beginning of the human race. It's the beginning of the human experience, and it tells us, it gives us a sense of root. We're rooted in the kingdom of heaven. That is where our roots are. Unfortunately, because of our choice that we made as humans, we no longer have that direct connection. And it's only through our faith in Jesus Christ that we once again are connected back to the vine, connected back to our roots. But the beauty of the passage of Scripture that I chose this morning, and I want to look at it real quick here, in Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, let's just take a quick look here as we move forward. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And you know the word Lord is connected to Christ, Jesus Christ. And Lord means He is the one who is over us. He is the head. He's the one that created us. He's the one who died for us. He is the one who sustains us. He is the one that empowers us, enables us. And so we keep that in mind. And ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. You know, as I read that, I thought, you know, we go back in the scriptures, go back to the New Testament, the stories of Jesus and his ministry here on this earth. And many authors have written about that, the life of Christ, including Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But even more recently, people have written books that describe the life of Christ and as they imagine Christ. And the one thing that most of the books that I've written about about the life of Christ talk about how people were attracted to him. They saw something there. They saw a glory, a presence in his face that drew them. You know, the idea of the Garden of Eden, the place where humanity was started, created from the dust of the earth, the Spirit of God was breathed into Adam and he became a living being. And then Adam and Eve made that fateful decision to disconnect from God. And in the process of disconnecting from God, they stepped out of the light. They stepped out of that Shekinah, that glory that surrounded them. And as they stepped out of that, as they made that choice to step out, they also then immediately sensed something had changed. They sensed the distance, that there was suddenly a distance. And it says, and they thought, and they believed that they were naked. Not physically naked as much as spiritually naked. They sensed a darkness, a growing darkness. And of course, you know, Lucifer had said, you know, when you eat this fruit, your eyes will be open. Yes, their eyes were open. And what did they see? Darkness. And they ran and hid. That is the beginning of the dilemma, the crises that started there in the garden and was moved then outside the garden. They were no longer allowed to come into the presence, into the glory, the purity of the Garden of Eden. They were kept out of the garden. They could come and stand and look into the garden, but they were not allowed to go in anymore. That had to be a heartbreaking experience for them because they knew that inside the garden was that beautiful glory of God. That they had lost that now, and now they had to look to the future to reconnect. However, God told them that even though that they had stepped outside of his glory, even though they had gone their own way, that there was a way back to the glory. There was a way back. And so in the Bible, as we've pointed out for a number of weeks now, the concept of fear of the Lord and fearing the Lord, those are two different concepts. One is they feared, Adam said, I feared and ran and hid, is literally afraid of punishment. Afraid of what might happen. Have you ever thought like that before? Yeah, I think pretty much all of us, when we are confronted by the glory of God, when we're confronted by God's Word, when we're confronted by the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, but I feel like running and hiding too. I feel naked spiritually. I feel inadequate. I feel lost. I want to make some clothing out of whatever I can find, you know, fig leaves, whatever it takes. I don't feel like I can come into God's presence. The other concept, a beautiful concept is to not run from the Lord in fear, but to run towards the Lord with fear. And fear, as I pointed out, there are two different definitions in the Hebrew. And one is to, of course, be afraid of. The children of Israel were afraid of the sound and the lightning and the dark cloud and the fire that came down on Mount Sinai. And it says they ran from the Lord. That's a running away from the presence of God. But the other one is to come towards God, to come running to God. Okay? And that is in worship. So often you will discover as you read through the Bible, when it talks about fear of the Lord, it's talking about come before his presence with fear and thanksgiving. Come before his presence to worship him, to glorify him. enter into his courts with praise. David was a great, beautiful songwriter and a poet, and he talks a lot about the idea of coming before God with praise and thanksgiving, uplifting the Lord, recognizing the beauty of his creation. I look to the hills whence cometh my strength. My strength cometh from the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? How he expressed his love for God. And rather than running from God, he ran towards God. Even in the depths of his sin, once that sin was pointed out, the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba and also the murder of her husband, he realized that he was separated from God. He was no longer in God's presence, that his sin had left a gap, a chasm between him. He didn't run from God. He ran to God. Isn't that a beautiful story? Read it sometime. It'll encourage you. He literally went into the temple, and he wasn't supposed to go into the holy place because that was only for the priests. But he was so distraught and so overwhelmed by his sin that he was willing to chance it. And he went in there and he lay before the Lord until he felt God's presence, until God had assured him that his sins were forgiven. And then he left. It's a beautiful example of we as Christians today. I think most all of us struggle, as David did, Solomon did, Moses did, Abraham did, Jacob, Isaac, any of the saints, the disciples, the followers of Christ, throughout eternity have always struggled with this feeling of inadequacy, that they are lacking something, that they need to somehow cover themselves so that they can come into God's presence. And the beautiful story of the gospel is that we are covered with God's cloak of righteousness. In fact, the idea, the theme of darkness and light is one of the themes that we can find throughout the scriptures. And the author here in Paul in Corinthians talks about that in verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displaced in the face of Christ. If you take a look, you turn over in your Bibles to John. John also picks up this theme in John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So we're talking clear back there, you know, at the very beginning, all right? Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. You know, that's an interesting, because that's a double, that's an affirmation. It's an emphatic. Nothing was made. Everything was made by him. Okay? It's undisputable. Well, who? The Word. But who's the Word? Let's go on. All right? And it says that, verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness hasn't understood it. Therefore came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning what? The light. So that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. John was not the light. But he was a witness. He testified to that light. He taught about the coming, the light that would come. He came only as a witness to the light. He was a witness. You and I are witnesses to the light. We are not the light. We are witnesses to the light. The true light that gives light to every man that was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave what? The right to become children of God. Verse 14, we'll just jump over to that. And the Word became flesh. So that's the Word that we're talking about up there in verse 1. And it dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. You see, even John is talking about this concept of the light, to step out of the light. When Adam and Eve stepped out of the light, they not only stepped out of God's presence, the holiness, the glory of God, they stepped into darkness. And that is the problem with our humanity, our life here on this earth, is that we live in relative darkness. And it's only the light, Jesus Christ, that brings us hope. Hope of what? Hope of eternal life. Hope of being able to step back into, literally, God's glory, the kingdom of heaven. Now, in this passage, we're reminded that there's only way to the light. There's only one way to the light. And that is to choose to accept Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos, that came and dwelt among us. A number of years ago, I used to say how many, I won't say anymore. Some of you will know. I was a security officer at a college up in Northern California my sophomore year. And you have no idea what security officers know. It took me years to get rid of a lot of what was in my head, but... we see and we deal with a lot of things that you just don't want to know. But it was interesting, this one night, I remember I was sound asleep in my bed and I roomed with another security officer. And we kept our uniforms there prepared to grab and to jump into and to go out and do whatever we needed. And we weren't on call that night, and so we were both sound asleep, and all of a sudden the walkie-talkie goes off, you know, and... "You guys, get out here. The lights have gone off, and we have to go out and make sure that the girls are safe in the dorm." So I didn't have time. Jay didn't have time to put his uniform on. We just ran out there, and we pulled our jeans on, and we ran out there kind of, you know, clothed in our regular clothes for the week. And fortunately, I'd stuck my wallet in my pocket. And so the first thing we were always told is whenever there's the lights go out on campus, whenever there's a blackout, which happened quite fairly regularly, that our job was to go over and patrol around the girls' dorms. There were two, actually there were three, but that time there were only two that were being used. And there was a wooded areas all the way around the girls' dorm. And the reason for that was just to make sure that, you know, people didn't take advantage of the lights out on campus and, you know, that, all that hanky-panky things that go on. So I was just standing on the edge of the woods, and I was standing right in an area where I could see both the entrance to one girl's dorm on one side and the other girl's dorm on the other side. And Carol would know where that is. What did they call that area? Do you remember? Anyways, so I'm standing there looking, and I'm trying to kind of hide behind a tree a little bit so that, you know, just in case somebody did come up. And all of a sudden, there's a voice behind me, and a bright light shines on me and says, "Step out into the light." I'm going, "That's not Jay's voice. It's not Chief Bird's voice. Young man, step out into the light." So I step out from behind the tree, and I'm blinded by this big, huge flashlight, like a spotlight on me. "What are you doing near the girls' dorm?" I said, "Sir, I'm a security officer." "Oh, right, sure. No, I am. I'm a security officer." So I start reaching for my wallet, and I flip it open, and of course, there's my certificate. "I'm a security officer." "Oh, okay, Glenn." So I knew he knew me. "You're okay. What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, you guys called us to come out and make sure that everything was safe." And it was Dean Eigler, who was the dean of students. And what he was doing there at 2 in the morning or whatever it was, I can't remember. But he was coming over to make sure that we were doing our job. And I've never forgotten. In fact, I'm related to him, so I reminded him a couple years ago about that. He'd forgotten about it. It was no big deal. But for me, it was a surprise and a shocker. Step out into the light. That is what God calls us to do. Step out of darkness and come into the light. Come to where the light is. Come, and the light is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And when we step back into his presence, by the way, we can't do that in our own righteousness. We can't do that by having a strong will or having, you know, doing all the right things. The only way that we can step back and rather step into his presence, into his glory, is by faith in Jesus Christ. And when we step back into that relationship, into that family, into that faith relationship, he then covers us with his righteousness, his cloak of righteousness. And it's his righteousness that makes us worthy to step back and to be in the light again. Paul, the theme Paul reminds us over and over throughout his writings. And it's beautiful because in our passage this morning, if you want to turn back, take a look at that again. In the passage this morning, we're reminded, okay, that the light that shines out of darkness, this light also shines in our hearts. You know, God repeatedly over and over again called the children of Israel to not only follow him, to be his children, but also to have our hearts changed, to write his covenant on our hearts. And when you think about hearts, you know, changing hearts, having our hearts purified, having our hearts cleansed, obviously that was the condition that Adam and Eve fell into, and that was they followed their own will, their own desires, and their hearts then became sinful. And God, when he calls us out of that nature, that fallen nature, into a new birth, a new life. We become a new creation. You know, it's a beautiful thing. As I was studying this passage and this topic during the week, I came to an interesting parallel in the scriptures that Paul draws on over and over again in his writings and the other writers of the New Testament too. And that is this concept or this idea of being born again, the idea of a new birth, the idea of a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's interesting because it's by the Word, as we read here, the Word became flesh. The Word was there, was present at creation. We know that's Jesus. It's by the Word of God that the worlds were created. Tremendous. Think about that for just a minute. If you got any kind of a scientific mind, you got to realize that even to the very smallest in creation, to the molecules, to the atoms, to whatever smaller than atoms, that was all created. It was brought into existence by the power of God's Word. Think about it. From the smallest to the biggest. And our world's very small. You know, you compare it to the other planets, and we're puny. We're not even visible. If we're able to stand on Saturn or some of the other planets out there, probably wouldn't even be able to see it. Well, you wouldn't be able to see us with a naked eye. It would be too small. The world would be way too small. But by the Word of God, by the Word of his mouth were the heavens made. There's power in God's Word. And that power that brought into existence our universe, the entire universe, the whole massive, however billions and trillions of light years that are out there, that God keeps expanding them, were all created. They came forth from the Word of God. And I love it because John says, and the Word came and dwelt among us. You see how that power, the power of the Word of God, is still alive today? That it is still there, it is still bringing into existence new creations. And that, of course, would be us. When we accept to follow Jesus Christ, when we step back into the light, the Word of God recreates us. Recreates us. We become a new babe, a new creation. And that only happens because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because if you're trying to get in, if you're trying to step back into light with any other power, you won't make it back in. It won't happen. And yet we as Christians, we as human beings have been trying to do that from the beginning of time. That's why there's such a multitude of religions. Because religions tell people this is how you do it. It's a formula. Everybody has their own little packet, and here's your formula, and this is how you step back, you get back into the light. This is how you become, you know, a son or a child of God. This is how you do it. It's a how to do. That's all good and fine, except if it doesn't introduce you to the Word, if it doesn't introduce you to the light, then there's no truth in it. Ultimately, it has to introduce you, reconnect you with the light. And the light, of course, being Jesus Christ and His righteousness, which then brings us back into that covenant relationship, back into the glory, back into the presence of God. Just a quick, I wrote this down. It's funny, like I told you before, you know, sometimes when I'm preaching, I think of stories or I think of examples. And somebody used this, what was it, last week, I think I was talking to one of my friends. And he's a musician, an old friend of mine. And he said, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and he shared this with me. There was a song, and I don't know if I can remember which group it was that sang it, but it was Stairway to Heaven. Was it Led Zeppelin? Okay, good. But there's a song. It was very popular in I think the 70s. It was called Stairway to Heaven, and all of us who played guitars had to learn to play that song. If you could play that song, no problem. But think about it. If there's a stairway to heaven, then there's a freeway to hell. The freeway, okay, highway to hell. Is there a song of that too? Yeah. Oh, see how ignorant I am? What can I say? I was raised in a capsule. Anyway, so the idea is this: the stairway to heaven can only be part of our relationship is if we climb that stairway, if we make that way with Jesus Christ as our guide. The stairway to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The highway to hell, anybody can slide down that road. Okay, anybody. It's wide, it's broad, and it leads to perdition. It's a spiral. And it brought to mind the example I found in the Scriptures, and I'm going to talk a little more about that next week. But when it comes to the experience in the garden, the spiral that took place after they chose to follow their own personal desires, their own will, it was a slide. It was a spiral, and it got wider and wider and wider, so Paul is trying to remind us in Corinthians that the only way, the only stairway, if you please, to heaven is the stairway that Jesus Christ lightens for us. He sheds light on that so that we, along with Him, can make our way to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Let's not forget in our journey that we are jars of clay. Ultimately, those jars of clay, Adam was, as he was reminded there in Genesis, just dust, just clay. God formed him, breathed into him the power, the Spirit of God, and Adam became a living being. You and I are descendants of Adam. We follow in the footsteps of Adam, but there is a better way. And that way leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Seek to follow Christ. And what does the Bible say? And all of these things, all the things that we need, He will supply. Enjoy your time this week with your family or friends. Enjoy the season to give thanks. It should be all year round, but we tend to think more about that this time of year. God bless each of you this week. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who enlightens the way, and you are the truth, you are the life. Lord, take us and fill us with your Spirit. Cover us with your righteousness. Teach us each day how to follow you and not turn away doing our own things, but to follow you, to follow the light. We pray in your name. Amen.